T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, the Royals unfortunately lose last night, 10-3, of course. So now they are 500 on the season at 4-4. Royals back at it tonight here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll talk more about Brady Singer and what I thought was more the defensive issue last night for him. I didn't think he pitched all that poorly. He didn't have a lot of help. And yes, some of it was self-inflicted in terms of his own error that he had. But overall, the issue continues to be innings 1-3, Cody, for this baseball team. 1-3, they keep digging themselves holes. First three innings, 22 runs so far this year. That's the fourth most in all of the majors. So you forget about last night, move on to tonight. Hopefully the Royals can continue to move on to the season where it's very early. But you know what? Not go under 500. How long can they stay above 500? They have not been under 500 yet this year. So they got to win tonight. Got one tonight.
Keep the streak alive.
I want to be able to say that still a few weeks from now.
Danny Duffy on the bump tonight. By the way, Matheny did not give a ringing endorsement for the timetable of return for maybe some offensive help. And Adalberto Mondesi saying he still isn't doing baseball activities yet. So another thing to monitor for this team is they have been injured early. This time it's not the pitching staff. Next time it goes the other direction. Next up on What's Trending, it was announced yesterday that Julian Edelman will retire from football following a series of knee-related injuries. Now, I'll be the first person to tell you, he would not be the first guy ever to retire and then play football that very season. But it sounds like he's legitimately retiring. The conversation I am unwilling to have is whether or not he's a Hall of Famer. I refuse to have that very stupid conversation.
It's so annoying and tiring. It really is.
Who thinks that?
Like, he had a very nice career.
Who honestly thinks that?
Very nice career. Really good football player. He's not a Hall of Famer. Really nice career, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
He's not even close. Like, it's not even actually an argument. It's like saying, was Mark Tian a Hall of Fame baseball player? And I love Mark Tian. He's not. It's not a long conversation.
There's plenty of other players, and let alone wide receivers in the league, that had some numbers that were even better than Julian Edelman.
Had nearly double the number of receiving yardage. He's never even gotten a vote. He's never even been on the ballot.
Yeah, the Julian Edelman stuff. You knew it was coming the minute the retirement announcement happened.
Yeah, because somebody brought it up a couple of years ago and I wanted to jab my ears out.
I don't know who was the first, but that debate happened probably 3 or 4 years ago, and then it got brought to the forefront again. Next up on What's Trending, just a little bit of college basketball news. We know there's been a lot of movement with coaches this year. Chris Beard's down at Texas. Shaka's at Milwaukee now. Woodson's now over at Indiana, for example, and Porter Mosier's down at Oklahoma. Well, there was some rumor with Sean Miller being out at Arizona. What about Eric Musselman, who had a nice season with Arkansas? Would he take that gig? It's not going to happen right now. It was still a long shot, but Jeff Goodman reporting Eric Musselman going to stay at Arkansas, finalizing a new multi-year contract extension with them. Of course, Arkansas made it to the Elite Eight. Just a second season there. Had success at Nevada prior to that. And so Eric Musselman going to stay at Arkansas for the time being.
What's his bio?
All these, always.
They haven't announced the kind of. Like, tell me what the bio is, and I'll tell you how long Eric Musselman is dedicated to staying at the University of Arkansas.
Smart not to go to Arizona, though. Why would you want to mess with that? He's fine for now. Stay at Arkansas and see if a better job opens up than Arizona. It's crazy to say that, but Arizona's falling off big time.
Yeah, and if you take Arkansas to a Sweet 16 again next year or sometime over the next couple of years, there'll be a job as good as Arizona available to you. Next up on What's Trending, Joe West, from famous baseball umpiring fame, he won a lawsuit over the weekend, awarded $500,000 in a defamation suit against Paul LaDuca, who went on a podcast and it alleged that for in exchange for driving a vintage car, a former teammate of his was given a better strike zone in his game. So Joe West was at least, I don't know, they didn't have enough proof to prove that it was true. So Joe West was awarded $500,000. Look, this probably wasn't a true story about Billy Wagner offering him a vintage 1957, Chevy drive. But Joe West sucks, and so I'm sad to see him get more money. He is such a plague on the game at times. I don't even feel good about it.
Paul LaDuca obviously had a long career in baseball with the Marlins, Mets, Dodgers, and he's going to have to write a little check now because of that comment. He probably didn't think on the podcast, he probably had no clue that somehow Joe West would get word of it and actually take it this far. But
instead, Joe West was just a terrible umpire and gave him all those calls for no reason.
I mean, I understand why Joe West would want to sue in this scenario because
that's a bad thing to say.
And it could impact his lawsuit saying his impact of being a Hall of Famer and all that. So there you go. Yeah. Next up on what's trending, James Conner reportedly signing with the Arizona Cardinals. Of course, spent all of his career prior to that with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Shown plenty of flashes, had some injury history, though. And now he's going to sign a short-term deal there with the Arizona Cardinals. So there you go. Cardinals have been very active. I will say, though, the Cardinals continue. Not that James Conner is, really old by any means, but they continue to just go sign a bunch of guys that were really good a couple years ago. It keeps happening. James Conner's only 25. I get it. But, his best season was 2 years ago.
Yeah, the Cardinals look really good in 2018 right now.
Yeah, J.J. Watt, really nice guy, fantastic football player, but would have been great in 2017.
Yeah,
It's just that's been their offseason so far. They're going all in, obviously, and being very aggressive this offseason.
On veterans who were good a few years ago, you're going to find out whether or not.
I hope James Conner turns around because he is only 25 years old, but he's had some issues. He's not been able to stay healthy there in Pittsburgh.
Lastly on what's trending, Nuggets star Jamal Murray has a torn ACL after he left the game last night with a left knee injury. He will obviously be out indefinitely with that. Unfortunate. My dad, who is a Nuggets fan, because there's no NBA team here, and we spend a lot of time in Colorado, was texting me over the weekend about how much of a chance I thought they had based on how well they were playing and Jamal Murray and Jokic. Yeah. And it was bad news. Bad news. Without Jamal Murray, that team's got no hope. But that really does suck. They have been a very good team, but more importantly, a team that would have had a chance in the playoffs to show something doesn't now because Jamal Murray's out.
Yeah, I watched that live last night. I was on late. There was only, a minute and a half or so left in the game against the Warriors. So the game was essentially almost over, and then immediately he was in serious pain. You knew it was a very serious injury. So that's a huge bummer. He's good for the league, too, just overall. And I think we all enjoyed last year in the bubble watching Jamal Murray and him just take over and have just unbelievable performance after performance. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up at 12:30, your next chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. And you'll want to hear what a caller told Vern last night when it comes to the Royals, in particular, the organization and their general manager going forward. But let's talk some Royals right now. And I do think Brady Singer last night, certainly, I think we all thought it. We were texting, and he, in fairness, looked the same way in the first inning, the first go-around. But he was sharp out of the gate, and he was able to get around some trouble. Ultimately, Brady Singer, it's not where anybody wants him to be. Five innings of ball is not where you want. You want him getting into the six-plus innings. But I don't think last night was a bad outing at all for Brady Singer.
No.
I was happy for the most part with what you got from him. Yeah, he scattered around seven singles. Okay, seven singles, and they score four runs, but only one of them was earned against Brady Singer, and one was his fault, obviously, on the air, the extra throw that he made. But it was a terrible night defensively, eight games the Royals have had, we can talk about the lineup, its struggles, and certainly starting pitching. This was the first game this year where it was just a complete cluster, defensively. I mean, Cody, all the way around. Kyle Isbell tries to make a diving play. He's unable to do it. Nicky Lopez has an error. The Michael A. Taylor makes a mistake throwing to third instead of throwing to second. There was a lot of messiness, to put it nicely, on the defensive side of the ball last night for the Royals. And that stuff just can't happen.
No. And obviously, as you all know, you can't be a team that says you care that much about it and then be the team that kicks the ball around. I'll call it, a once-in-a-while blip in the radar, because generally they have been a very good team, obviously, defensively under Dayton Moore.
Yeah.
The problems, and I thought Singer was fine. I've got no problems with Singer. We could walk in today, and I didn't know if we were going to be Singer's back on track, or, Singer's going to be bad in his first two starts like Keller. And instead, I walk out of that game, and I'm like, you did fine, Singer. I got no complaints. If this is what you look like occasionally, if this is your run-of-the-mill start, we'll all live our best life. Because I'll take the great starts, and I'll take the obviously much less common very bad starts, and he'll end up being a 3.9 ERA guy over a 30-game stretch if this is his regular game. So I'm fine with what I got out of Brady Singer last night. I am obviously concerned over the course of the offense, and that's because they've struck out a million times, 88 actually to be exact, which is a franchise record for the first 8 games, which is a lot, and 54 times over the last 4 games, so they're striking out almost 12 times per game during that stretch. And then I'm like, okay, is there a solution to the offense? Because Dozier was out of the lineup last night. We don't know where the lineup hasn't come out for tonight yet, so we don't know.
Yep.
Mondesi, last night, if you listen to what Mike Matheny said that there's no timetable to return. So then I'm like, and then they switch Santana and Perez. A very small switch in the lineup. But if Michael Taylor has to hit 6th, there is no solution. Just hypothetically. If there was a young shortstop in the minor league system who could offer you a boost. My problem is, like, if Dozier's going to be out for a long time, don't we have to reinvigorate the Bobby Witt Jr. conversation? This is what Mike Matheny had to say about him. He was actually on a podcast with John Heyman over in the Odyssey.com app, the big-time baseball app, and had this to say about Bobby Witt Jr.
And also Witt. I mean, is he as good as people say?
Yeah, I'll start with Bobby Witt. And, he's got the potential to be a very, very impactful player. This is the kind of guy who brings everything that we would look for as far as the athleticism. We're working on a little bit of the versatility, given also some exposure to the outfield. We can play shortstop. We played him quite a bit in spring training at second base. We watched him at third during our summer camp last year. So I think he's really capable anywhere on the infield, but having the flexibility to also, it's one of the hallmarks kind of what we do, watching Whit Merrifield go from the outfield to second base, Hunter Dozier go from the outfield to first base, then to third. And having the versatility, I believe, helps every player, helps every team in the long run, especially a young guy just trying to make his mark. So that's part of Bobby's development right now. We believe the bat is going to play and a plus runner.
I mean, it's,
my thing with Hunter Dozier right now is just that we know he wasn't in the lineup yesterday, and yeah, we don't know, as you said, the lineup's not out yet today. We'll find out. Thumb injury, he came back for a game or two, had to leave early, pinch hit, and then he didn't play at all yesterday and doesn't have a hit on the season. That's because he's barely played, and also he can't get in any rhythm whatsoever. I think it's fair to say at this point in time, knowing the off days now, and again, there's hindsight involved here, you trust the medical staff and what they were thinking was going to take, but at this point, they would have been better off putting him on IL.
Probably. I mean, look, he's played one game in the last week.
We're 8 games into the season, and he's barely been in the lineup. And if he's not in the lineup today, it's going to be hard for anybody to say that, well, he probably shouldn't have been on the IL.
And then hopefully, it's Mejia, though? Like, who do they call replace him?
But you got to have some. I mean, he's not available at all right now. And so that's hopefully he's in the lineup today. That's a good sign. He needs to get in a rhythm anyway. And if he can get in the lineup again, if the health part is behind him, then at least he's got 9 games in a row without an off day. That was the other problem, even when he came back. But clearly the thumb was still bothering him from over the weekend as well. So that's my only issue on the Dozier thing that's frustrating. And that's why when we talk about our concerns and everything like that, and yeah, Bobby Witt Jr., I still think at this point in time, to me, as for viewing their decision-making, I think they would be saying, well, this is way too early for us to react to that. Like, I want Bobby Witt Jr. up here, obviously. But I think it'd be way 8 games in for them to suddenly hit that button. I think then you're like, well, then why wasn't he on the opening day roster to start?
I know. Because then guess what that means? It means you're calling up Eric Mejia or you're not doing anything. Do you seem like you're almost better just keeping Hunter Dozier on there and starting Hanser Alberto if Dozier can only start 1 every 3 games? Because you're not doing anything to improve your team by just, this is why I don't care that they didn't put Hunter Dozier on the IL, is because if it's not Bobby Witt Jr., you are in the same boat. You're going to call somebody up and you're just going to start Hanser Alberto anyway. And I get it. Like, you'd be like, well, what if an injury happens and then someone's going to be in there? Yes, I get the technicality behind it. But just as long as Hanser Alberto can stay healthy the entire time that Hunter Dozier isn't right, then it's the same. Like, it's the same. It's not going to make a difference. It wasn't going to make him better in offense and it wasn't going to make him worse unless you are willing to push chips in the middle. And I don't think they're willing to make that move yet. And you're right. And he hasn't even, like, I don't know what he's been doing in the offside.
He's in Arkansas.
He's in Arkansas just kicking it against.
He's at an alternate site. I mean, so yeah, it's like
the same thing.
You know, what has he been working
on? He's hitting against Daniel Lynch, probably.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing he was doing last year, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I think you bring up the offense, too, and what we've seen right now. And that's like the offense to me, because they don't have Dozier, because they don't have Mondesi in the lineup at all, and we don't know where things are going to be at timeline-wise for either of those guys now, and certainly for Mondesi, like, that's where, as frustrating as it is to see, believe me, the 88 strikeouts after the first four games where it's like, wow, they're actually nice, more patient plate approach. And then suddenly, what was it, you said 54 strikeouts now in the last three games or whatever it is. Like, that certainly is concerning. Soler, his plate approach has been terrible at this point in time. And
they have a 36% chase rate, just so you know. That is miserable.
So,
and that's just patience.
Yeah.
Like, that can be fixed by just watching some balls.
As frustrated as I am by the offense, I do still think, because Michael A. Taylor's as good as he's been, he's batting. This is the offense. It's going to be a problem all year. Like, I can't do that. It's eight games in, and they don't have their normal lineup out there yet.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the starting pitching, while I have plenty of confidence that Brad Keller will eventually get this thing turned around.
That's the rotation.
The rotation still is more concerning because it is what you have. Yes, there's future Daniel Lynch getting called up down the road, but right now it's not as if your rotation isn't intact. This is the rotation you planned on having on opening day. It's still there. It just hasn't performed. The lineup is not what anybody thought it was going to be two and a half weeks ago.
I do have hope, because, like, the hope part of all of this is, I mean, look at everything we're telling you right now. They've had injuries. They're missing two of the guys who would have hit in the top six of their order. That's not good. The rotation has already had to lean on the fifth starter because they've had really bad starting pitching for the most part. They have one bad start from Brady Singer, one fine start, right? Just like we said last night. Two bad starts from Brad Keller. Two okay starts from Minor. I think that's probably a fair assessment of what he's done so far.
Yeah, he grinded through him. Oh yeah.
Okay, and one borderline great start from Jacob Junis in a game that they eventually lost, unfortunately, and then a bunch of bad starts and okay bullpen pitching. It's really been okay, and it's for the most part, other than the first two games. So it's like nothing has really gone particularly well.
And they're 4-4.
And they're 4-4.
Yeah.
Like they have not played good baseball, and they're 4-4. Like, if they can get through this month. Like, this homestand really is it. Like, I say this month because they got some bad opponents at the end of the month. Like, if you look at their schedule, they've got, like, the Tigers of the world and the Pirates. Those are bad teams. I don't care if the Tigers have started well. Those are bad teams, and we know they're bad teams. Nothing's going to convince us otherwise. This 9-game homestand is so pivotal, as you know, Gold, just even based on the last few years' worth of evidence. Can you just go 4-5? Can you just go 5-4? Give me some confidence that once Soler, who always is bad in April, is going to be May, June Soler, and those other guys are going to come back into the order, that then you can worry about the, hey, how do we play some above 500 baseball for a few weeks? Just give me 4-5, 5-4 over the next eight games, and I'm going to feel elated. And I don't care how ugly it is that you get there. The 4-4 was pretty ugly. Give me the 4-5 over the next nine. Ugly, I'll take it.
Well, yeah, because whatever our win totals are, and you were at, 77, and I was at 74. I mean, if they finish April at 500 and they go through a whole month without Mondesi even available. And
I settled at 78, the same difference.
Okay, and you've got Mondesi, as I said, not available. And Dozier, who knows how much you're going to get out of him in the month of April. And at least two of your Brad Keller starts are as poor as they've been. Yeah, I would sign me up for 500 in 2 weeks immediately. You're right about the homestands, though, because they got nine games left in this homestand. It's one of the longest homestands they'll have all year when it's all said and done still. And, last year the Royals had a 7-game homestretch in late August. They go 1-6 in that. Suddenly they're sitting at 14-27. You go back to 2019, for example. They had a 9-game homestretch in June, and they went three games under 500 in that. And all of a sudden they were 22-46. Like, they're big swings. It's early as it is for the season. It's a homestand where, if you're sitting at the end of the 10-game homestand and you go 3-7 during it, okay, then certainly it changes the entire vibe and where you're at. But one game last night, you do truly just throw that one away because defensively it was just a pitiful performance on the defensive end. And the bats, no doubt, the bats have to wake up. We'll see what they get here tonight. And Danny Duffy, can he give you another solid out? He was fantastic in his first outing.
They only had one inning where they looked competent on offense. And I will say, it is still cool to see milestones for important Royals players. Because last night we did get to see Salvador Perez's 1,000th hit. And every single one of those hits have been with the Royals. And it was in an at-bat that seemingly was very Salvador Perez at his peak-like. He frustrated the pitcher and eventually lined a single that led to more runs in a game in which they weren't competing in for the early part of the going because Cobb was completely carving them up, which says probably a lot about where their offense is right now, although I thought Cobb looked pretty good. There's a misnomer between, like, sometimes good pitching makes for bad offense, but sometimes bad offense makes a pitcher look better than they were. I thought Cobb actually pitched well last night.
Who is the kid for the about drove me crazy late in the game? Kept looking at the damn note card. Not just once, not just twice, three different times. The Angels pitcher.
Yeah.
I've never seen. Like, I know they have a note card. That's not new. But I have never.
How many times are you going to look at it?
He flat out would pull out the note card and not just like a quick. Like he 5 to 10 seconds just pulling out the note card like he was. It was unbelievable. I've never seen.
No,
that length
either.
Of time, that many times. Like, I've seen the old look in the hat, and like, you got written, you know, something written inside the hat or whatever, or a note card in the hat.
Don't suck. That's what it says, sir. That's what the note card says.
He just had it in his back pocket, Cody, and he's playing his day, and he's sticking out the fingers to the catcher, like wide open, nobody, not hiding anything. It was just bizarre. I've never seen that.
Well, apparently they're not on the same page, and no, and I haven't seen that either. But you have to admit, it was nice to see Salvador Perez get 1,000 hits. Like, that meant something, at least a little bit.
We know what he's meant to
this organization. Based on the stage he's been in the career, I like seeing players like that have those moments. Did you actually see, so like you mentioned the guy in the card. Did you see the player steal it from someone's back pocket the other day? In classic Serta fashion the other day, there's a full breakdown video the other day of a Chicago White Sox player, Serta, walking past another guy as they were like working on something in the mound and pickpocket the guy. For his defensive alignment card.
That's great.
He full-blown pickpocketed the guy.
Did he get caught?
They have not said
video. There's video.
There's video evidence of it, so he was definitely busted doing it. But I haven't heard any punishment from Major League Baseball
about it.
What are
they going to do?
It's on opposing teams, but he straight up swiped it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
What are they going to do?
I don't know. Punish him for cheating like you do.
But like,
is it cheating to know somebody else's plan for defensive alignment against you? I guess it kind of is, right?
How big of an advantage is that?
Probably not a huge one. You still have to hit a baseball going 95 miles an hour. Like, that's the thing about all of baseball. It'd be like, oh, we're going to make it easier for you to hit. Man, it's really hard to hit. We're talking about a sport where we celebrate you being successful 29% of the time.
It's like when NFL players steal, like, play cards or whatever. You still have to know the terminology. The play card doesn't really do anything for you.
Well, yeah, but in baseball, it could be like, hey, we're going to line this. Like, this is exactly the way we're going to line up to defend this guy. And it might have, depending on, if you're a pitcher, it would probably have some of your strengths or weaknesses, hot and cold zones as far as that. But he knows that. They give him that information, too. They know where he can't hit the baseball. So, I mean, to a point, you both already have this information about you. So does it make a huge difference? You know how people line up against you. You know where the soft spots are in the defense. It was pretty hilarious to watch him straight up pickpocket a guy, though.
And I get the idea behind the note card thing. I just, between the pickpocket thing or just, I've never seen a pitcher, though, that utilize it as much as that kid. I don't know his name last night for the, maybe I can, I'll recognize it when I see it for the Angels, but he was like just clear as day looking at it. It was unbelievable. I think was it Slager's? I don't know who it was. Might've been Mike Mayer's, but overall it was just kind of unbelievable. And he had three strikeouts. Yeah, it was him.
So it worked out just fine, didn't it?
It did, but it took forever. It was delaying the game.
It was kind of a long game, wasn't it? I mean, that's, I don't know. Like, baseball, this is what baseball is. Like, if you don't like baseball being kind of slow, like, if you want baseball to be 2 hours, you better ask them for six-inning games, because you're just not, like, yes, they should not be allowed to stare at a card in the middle. Like, you just, like, if you're on the mound, you're
up. Let's go. Let's hurry this up.
Like, it's time to
pitch. You have a quick glance at the note card, put it back in your pocket, and move on. He pulled it out and waited for, like, 10 seconds every time he did it. So, anyway.
Well, pitch clock. If you want the solution,
it does
pitch
exist.
Clock.
The pitch clock does exist. They just don't actually enforce it at all. They really don't.
Just get it down to 10 seconds. You have to throw all the time. Get your grip on the baseball and whip it. That's all we care about.
Royals tonight, right here on 610 Sports Radio. And of course, as you said, Danny Duffy on the bump. We'll see if he can't make it two really solid starts right out of the gate for the Royals and try to get them back above 500 or above, you know, they're 500, but above 500. Overall, we will give you another chance at $1,000 coming up next here on Cody and Golden. What did a caller have to say last night to Vern? You don't want to miss that next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back here on Cody and Gold, 30 minutes from now, Danny Welniak, sports director over at KCTV5, going to join us as she does each and every Tuesday.
Everybody from Kansas is gone.
Yeah, a little bit of breaking news coming across from 24/7 Sports. Kansas freshman guard Bryce Thompson tells 24/7 Sports he intends to transfer from KU. That means, I believe, all of last year's recruiting class has left. Now, we had talked about the other individuals that have left, like Tyon Grant Foster, and no disrespect to those guys, but those were more, okay, you'll be fine. Move out of the program. We'll kind of push you out of the program. You weren't going to be capable of playing at KU. Bryce Thompson was someone I would have really liked to have seen spend here most of his time at KU and develop. So that one, this is the first one's a bummer. What does it mean? Does it mean that they've got a couple other transfers that they think are going to commit to them soon? Does it mean on the recruiting trail?
That's the optimist view, for right, sure.
Sure. So there you go. That one was more surprising than anything else. But, man, that roster is going to look a lot different. And then, of course, the unknown with the draft, guys that declare for the draft, and Ochai and Jalen Wilson. Again, I think Jalen Wilson will be back. And Ochai, I still think, will be back. But it's a little less likely. But
if Ochai's not back, they'll have three scholarships open. That's a lot for Kansas basketball.
Yes, I think they have two spots right now opened up after this.
There are still a million players available in the transfer portal, including guys who would have started for Kansas last year or would start for Kansas next year. And there are still some, like, I think, like, the top commit in all of Rivals is still available, that 7-foot center, who I'm assuming, because I think if it's anybody in the top 20, I assume Kansas at some point offers them. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just assume that that's the way it works. Kansas' top recruit right now is ranked 35, I think, according to Rivals.
Yeah.
So they could use there's a couple of guys still in the top 10.
This Ty Washington kid is one that's one of the top in the country that people are looking at as well. So
I don't know anything about recruiting.
I hate recruiting. You know,
why do you hate it so much?
I can't stand it. When I had a cover on a regular basis when I worked out in Boise on the football, I just don't like it. I don't like worrying about where 16 and 17 year old high school kids are deciding to go to college. I'll worry about that when they're actually on campus. Like I just don't like the whole thing. I get it. You have to recruit. Not saying it's not valuable. Of course it is. I'm just saying from a coverage standpoint, can't stand recruiting. Can't stand it.
Currently, according to Rivals, the top undecided players are Chet Holmgren. Oh, he couldn't have a whiter name. A 7-foot center out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, who's available. Then Jaden Hardy, who's apparently the number 3 rated recruit out of Nevada. And then there's another top kid, Patrick Baldwin.
Yeah, look, the Bryce Thompson. I mean, that guy was a 5-star recruit last year.
That's a loss.
This is the first transfer they've had out of the program that you're like, oh, okay, that's an impact, because he was hurt for a lot of the year, then came back and provided him a little bit of boost as well. So we'll keep an eye on that. But right now, your next chance at $1,000 in our cash contest.
Your dash for the cash code word this hour here on 610 Sports Radio. As I pull it up, blizzard. That doesn't feel appropriate for the weather. BLIZZARD. Text that over to 72881. You could be our $1,000 winner in the National Cash Contest. Complete rules over at 610sports.com. Message and data rates may apply. The Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better. Download the BetQL app today. Blizzard, BLIZZARD, over to 72881. Boy, I said that like I had one of the new seltzers they're trying to sell me now. Sarda was telling us in the break that apparently they're going to make one of the seltzers instead of 4%, 8%. So just prepare yourself for at the lake in some bad shape.
It is seltzer White Claw season in the lakes coming up, isn't it?
Are you about to be drinking 8% White Claws by the...
I mean,
on the water.
If that's all that's there, then yes. But no, I don't need the 8%.
I thought part of the appeal of drinking the seltzer was like you could have like 8 of them by
it's
the lake.
Also the fact that there's no calorie. You know, there's 100 calories in it. That's also a big attraction for a lot of people.
The low calorie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Drinking a Mick Ultra.
Absolutely.
Something like that. And Coors Light, Miller's Light.
We talked about this last year. That the high noons are solid. Nothing wrong with high noon. Very good.
Are you still drinking those?
I haven't had one in a while, but yeah, those are good.
It's about to be summer, so it's, like, yeah, things are getting ready to switch.
There's some drinks you only drink, like summer shandy.
It's like drinking Tank 7, you know that, right? It's like drinking a Tank 7 seltzer.
Yeah, but it's not like drinking that, because it's only 100 calories.
No, this is going to be dangerous. Imagine people at the lake, specifically white people at the lake this summer.
What is up with the...
how much they're going to crush these things, okay? Listen, I can drink with the best of them, all right? I love throwing back some high alcohol craft beers. I can go toe-to-toe with Jay Binkley as far as I'm concerned in that regard.
Is that a challenge?
If it makes you feel better, KC Beer Company has a new one out because they lost a Super Bowl bet. So from Cigar City Brewing, it's 12.5% ABV.
Yeah, I expect that from potential from a beer. There's some beers, but that's high. Are you gonna down?
I'm not gonna drink four in a night.
People are going to get absolutely obliterated on these things because I don't think people understand. They think, it's just 3% more.
That's a lot.
No,
that's
it's a lot. Like I can crush a 6-pack of like 5-6% beer. I go up to 8. I have like 3 or 4 of those things, and I'm pretty much done.
Colorado trip coming up later, and just. Pack a bunch. Good to go. There you go.
I guess now you have it. You know what you're drinking in Vegas. Make your money's worth. Like, get your dollar's worth of your drink. That's the way to do it, Serta. We figured it out.
You said people are upset that they're calling it Surge, though? People are thinking of the green can,
yeah,
Surge.
Yeah, people are also complaining about that.
The soda of my youth.
Who loves Surge that much?
Surge. I haven't had a Surge since I was like 13. Yeah.
I was even younger, I think.
I mean, it went away for a very long time, but it's back.
That's what I hear.
I think Surge should maybe be unhappy, but I don't know why anybody who's just trying to drink a White Claw or drink Surge is unhappy. Both of those things are still available to you.
Surge was smart with the color scheme, too, because, yeah, I know it was similar to Mountain Dew, but it reminded me of, like, it was made for, like, Nickelodeon and marketing to kids in a way.
Yeah, and it would also had, like, 97 color. Grams of sugar in a single can of it, so it was, like, ready to, like, it was not good for you. Let's put it that way. It was like the kids Four Loko. It was like what kids who wanted to be all like jacked up at 14-year-old drink. I recall Surge. Laughing at the text line now.
Yes, text line 913-576-7610. Serta, did you see the latest text to come in from the Jay Southland Toasters text line?
Yes.
Someone says, yep, Serta can drink with the best of them and fall down his stairs and look like someone beat him to a pulp.
And that happened once.
That happened?
Yeah.
That happened once?
At an old apartment that I lived in, it was kind of like a duplex, but I lived in the upstairs part. The stairs were very steep. I happened to come home with a lady that night, and we had been out drinking for several hours, and I had to run downstairs to let my roommate in because he didn't have his keys. And so I ran downstairs, heavily intoxicated, and was like in my socks and underwear, and just slipped and fell down the stairs and put a huge hole in the wall with my body in my face and was like bloody.
I hope it did not ruin your nighttime activities.
It didn't, but I did. I did have to concussed, patch the wall.
Concussed.
I mean, I got up, cleaned myself up, took care of business. Woke up the next day regretting it and regretting what happened to the wall.
Oh, regretting both? The whole
no, the
whole,
girl
okay.
was fine.
Okay. He's, okay, I was making sure it was just the wall.
Just
the
regretting
wall
the
and
wall.
The, and the hang-up.
Okay, yeah. I do remember seeing the photo of the drywall.
So only 2 out of 3 regrets. Really, that's not bad for a night of drinking.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We'll get to the random question of the day coming up in about 5 minutes or so. But last night, hopefully you had a chance to listen to Vern's postgame show. You should listen to Vern's postgame show every night and hopefully listen tonight after a win. Those are a lot more fun. But occasionally, and you know this, having hosted Royals postgame, Cody, there's some callers that even 8 games into the season overreact just a little bit. Just a bit. Did you hear this one last night?
Let's go to Ray in Kansas City. Ray, you're next up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know who the hitting coach is, but I think we might need a new one, you know what I mean?
Not if you don't even know his name, Ray. Don't do this.
Exactly, but that's probably why I don't know his name, because he ain't no good.
Okay.
But anyways, how many more years of Dayton Moore do we take of losing seasons? I don't understand. I know it's early in the season, but, you know, how many more years of Dayton Moore do we take of losing?
What are you saying, Ray? What are you saying?
I'm just saying how many.
No, what are you saying? Say it.
I'm saying if Dayton Moore loses again this year, what do we? I mean, how many more years can we take of this? Is he? How much is to blame?
It's not up to me. You tell me. Are you telling me that you're done?
I'm saying start looking for somebody else that can get the job done. Is what I'm saying, because this.
Okay, where did Dayton go wrong then? Okay, he let
Kane go. And like you said, he let our main players go. Let the Haas
made a competitive offer to Hosmer. Paying Lorenzo Cain what he got from the Brewers Hosmer. Would have been an ignorant move.
Hey, he didn't get the job done is what the problem is.
Yes, he did. They won a title. What are you talking about?
He won a title. Okay, you got 2 good years out of 10. What do you want from me? You know what I mean? How many more years do we get of losing? You don't get another winning season. That's what I'm saying. It's pretty simple. Get the job done or you got to go.
So that was post-game caller last night to Vern.
Vern's not letting him off the hook.
No, and he shouldn't. There's a lot to address there. Can I first start? It's 8 games into the season. What are you talking about? The general manager, 8 games into a 8 games into a baseball season. They're 500. It's 8 games in.
It's probably building up for the caller.
I understand it was building up, but 8 game. That's not talking about the GM. 8 games in the season makes zero sense. First of all, the other part that makes no sense is I felt like, and maybe you disagree because of ownership change and all that, but I felt like also didn't we all understand too that in 2015 when this organization won a world championship with Ned Yost and Dayton Moore, that essentially both those guys, within reason, could essentially have their job as long as they so choose.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
you disagree with that.
I wouldn't just say it's like blank check forever now.
No, but like Dayton Moore, I think there'd be a point where if Dayton Moore ever felt like he wasn't, like I think he would be someone that would step down on his own. But the idea that this discussion
or step up into a different role.
Fine, whatever.
But sure.
Right. The idea, though, that's being brought up now is silly to me. Like, it looks like, hopefully, they're in a position where they've got the pieces to build something here and be competitive again. Now, if we're talking 3 years from now, Cody, and they are not back to the playoffs or being competitive, then that's a very fair conversation to have. But come on, this is that caller last night was ridiculous.
Obviously, this is way over the top. And Dayton Moore should not be at risk of losing his job at this stage.
It's crazy.
But there are, like, and the World Series really is, though, his saving grace. I'm not calling for that. I'm not there.
I know you're not, but he has, like, that's not a big deal. That's a mass. In Kansas City to win a world championship with the Royals is incredible.
They only have 2. When he took over, they were the worst franchise in all of baseball. They have 11 losing seasons in 14 years.
Yeah. Like,
that's a problem. That's a problem, at least on that end. Here's what Gene Watson.
Was that the caller?
Yeah,
that was his voice crack before he gave that take because he was scared to give it.
You think?
I think so. But when you listen, like, you have to put into mind, like, because I have to wipe out, like, all those losing seasons, right? To me, it's really like he's had three winning seasons in 10 years. Because those first 5 years, he took over such a bad situation, no one could have been expected to win. This is Gene Watson. He actually called into the morning show today. He used to work for the Royals for 14 years. He was there when Dayton Moore took over in 2006. This is what he said the state of the organization was.
We could have started over from scratch with our minor league system and been better off than we were. There were 29 fringe players on the 40-man roster, and just that day-to-day, brick-by-brick building of your minor league system along with your major league team and just changing the perception of getting major league players to even come to Kansas City, like a Gil Mesh, like a Jose Guillen, just getting those guys to even come here was a task.
And you might laugh at those names because they didn't have success here, but he went on to the bigger point, which was no one was coming here. You weren't going to get a single, and like in the draft, by the way, baseball's stupid. It's not stupid, but their draft isn't just you have the number one pick, you sign the number one pick. If a player doesn't want to come to you in baseball, they can demand such a high signing bonus, they can essentially push their way down the order. Brady Singer got pushed down in the draft because Kansas City was an attractive place to be, and people knew he was going to want a signing bonus above slot money for where he was going to go. So he kind of fell to Kansas City partially because of what we knew the signing bonus was going to cost to sign him. Kansas City couldn't do those things. Players left. You'd be like, oh, they just screwed up. They could never find the right player in the draft. Part of that is because the guys who were getting drafted weren't going to go there, or they weren't going to spend the money to do it. And so, like what I know he inherited, of course I think Dayton Moore has done a good job in Kansas City. If he wants to have this conversation in three more years and they still haven't finished above 500, I'm going to start having that conversation.
Yeah.
And over the next three seasons, he has a whole second seven-year rebuild, and this team isn't above 500, I'll start having that conversation with you. But it ain't now.
No,
that's what I know.
It's not now the timing of even the call last night.
It feels
just
like
hilarious.
They're on the uptick, so why even start having that conversation?
It's eight games in the season. They're not 0-8. Also, like, which still I would still say was ridiculous, but they're not 0-8. They're 4-4. And his complaint also began with the hitting coach. It's like they're eight games in the season. Come on. Calm down. It's eight games
I do
in.
I miss Seitzer, but
fine. But
that goes
many years
back now.
Eight games into the season. Let's all take it. Let's all relax.
Look, I'm going to have a problem if they finish bottom five in offense again.
Sure, but it's eight games.
It's eight games into the season.
Let's worry about that a month and a half from now and see where they're at, or even at the end of the month and start looking at it.
The 40-game mark is when you can start evaluating what your team
is. It's so early. They've played it's eight games, and also because of rainouts, they've played fewer games than just about anybody in baseball this year. And we've talked about it over and over.
And more days off. And it's April where offenses typically start slower.
We've talked about it over and over already today. But again, Dozier and Mondesi really haven't had any chance. Mondesi for sure. Dozier, almost the same. In the lineup at all. Like, this isn't what they're rolling out there with the lineup is not the intended lineup from where they viewed it this offseason and what they made, the moves they made. We haven't seen the full package of even what they're trying to roll out there yet.
And then they're not getting production out of the guys they did sign. So it's a real double whammy situation offensively. But yeah, I'm not going to lose it. And again, at least they're 4-4. I agree with you, caller, from last night on Vern's postgame show. They have not played well to start the season. They are 4-4. They're not 2-6. We said avoid a bad start. We didn't say avoid a bad start and play. Like, if they're not going to play well and then still be 500, I'm good?
Yeah.
Like, that sounds silly, but like, if they cannot play good baseball and be 500, I don't know that I have much to complain about in the first few weeks, because that's better than I could have anticipated.
Random question.
The random question of the day brought to you by The Window Source of Kansas City. For you gold, for you certain, over in the J. Southland Tow Service text line, 913-576-7610. Just want to know, this is a getting to know you exercise text line and for you guys. So 913-576-7610. When you were asked a question, let's say fifth grade, what do you want to be when you grow up? What was your answer? I think by fifth grade, I already knew that I wasn't going to be a professional baseball player. So, like, maybe some people still had that dream. In fifth grade, that dream had died. I wasn't the best player on my fifth grade team, although we did win the championship and I hit a homer. But I still hit, like, sixth. So that's not a great sign for me.
Yeah. Fifth grade. I don't know what I actually put. I have stuff in, like, kindergarten or whatever.
What'd you put in kindergarten?
I think in kindergarten, I put a soccer. I wanted to win a World Cup. So I'm assuming I wanted to be a. This was in kindergarten when I was really into, like,
my fifth grade, that dream probably died.
Up until I played soccer, like, until maybe sixth grade or whatever. And that was it. So I think it was in fifth. I don't know. I remember what I was saying in fifth grade. I know at one point, it was probably a little bit. At one point, I wanted to I thought I was going to major in political science or whatever. That's way further along. But as far as, like, growing up, I think, you know, there's the stereotypical answers that everybody had when they were little as well, like being a doctor or whatever, but that was never that was never like a serious thing.
You just answered that when the teacher said it, so it made you look
whatever,
cool.
Whatever.
You didn't actually mean it.
I knew by like eighth or ninth grade, though, that I wanted to get into broadcasting in some form. I didn't know what level of it I would want to do, whether it was sports talk or play-by-play, but that was later. But
weirdly enough, by that time, I did, like most people probably don't have that story because most people don't decide on their job that early. But I started doing media stuff in seventh and eighth grade. So that was probably about the time I continued that trend. Although I did a lot of regular jobs before I got back into it. So that's hard to say.
What was yours in fifth grade, did you say?
Fifth grade, I wanted to be an FBI agent.
Okay. All right.
I thought that job was like, and I was always interested in space. So I was interested in like the astronaut world of things.
An astronaut?
Yeah, but I'd always like read with like pilots and astronauts that you had to like have good vision. I always had those eye troubles, so I just felt like that wasn't realistic. I thought FBI agent maybe, and I also, and then like later in middle school, we had to take those like profile tests, and then they would make us interview someone who did that job, and I got FBI agent again. I'm like, well, this is meant to be. Clearly, your boy's going to be an FBI agent. That did not pan out.
At one point, I wanted to be something like that, or like a detective or something. Like that's what I thought I really wanted to do. But I also wanted to be an NBA player because basketball was the only sport I was really good at growing up.
Basketball player?
Yeah. I mean, I played football and like soccer and baseball for a little bit, but I pretty much sucked at all of them outside of like gym class.
From the 816, I wanted to be a meteorologist, found out how much math it takes to get there. So that was out. From the 785, wanted to be a pilot. Turns out grades suck, and now I'm a master tech at a dealership in town. That's a good gig. I appreciate someone's wrestling reference. WWF wrestler. Now I'm just for the WWE. I hope you are.
I definitely wanted to be that at one point, too.
From the 785. Investment broker. Needless to say, I got bullied a lot.
In fifth grade, you already knew you wanted to be an investment broker?
No, like I was, like at that age, like I was good at those things like math, but I hid it. I didn't want other kids to know I was good at those things. I just, like, quietly did them.
I didn't hide it, but I didn't want to do anything for my life that involved it. I was good at math. I was in, like, higher learning math classes.
Well, I told you, in high school, like, I'd applied for two colleges really coming out. And one was, like, I was going to go to MU for journalism, and I was accepted at MU, and I thought, okay, I'll go there.
See, I knew it all along. You really were an MU guy from the beginning.
Well, no, they just had a good journalism program. And then I applied to go to pre-engineering at Colorado, and I had gotten accepted to go to that program because I didn't mind the math and science end of those things. So I thought, oh, maybe I could be an engineer. As I started to think, like, broadcasting was not a realistic job to do. I thought, like, what was the realistic choice opposite broadcasting was really what I was trying to decide at that time. And then I did a bunch of other things unrelated to both of those things and then fell back into journalism.
This is great on the text line, though, and it just shows, like, how much different things are now. So this is from someone that says they are a fifth-grade teacher on their lunch break listening right now. More than half their class wants to be YouTubers or TikTokers. This tells you again how...
Oh, my God, that's true.
Is that the answer that people are giving now, fifth graders?
Probably,
I just want to be a YouTube... I want to be an Instagram influencer. Is that the answer are giving now? Oh,
so are you ever
goodness.
On Twitter and you see this random person with, like, a viral video or whatever, and you click on their profile, and they've got, like, 4.5 million followers, and you're like, I have no idea who this person is.
They're probably on YouTube.
I've never seen them before in my life. And you click the YouTube link in their bio, and they've got like 10 million followers on YouTube. Yeah. It's because people consume YouTube like they consume Twitter. I don't use YouTube like that, but it's a generation below me where YouTube is consumed in a completely different way than people in our age demographic consume it. I don't subscribe to a bunch of things on YouTube. I don't get on YouTube and check like my feeds and like new videos from these people that have been posted. There's people who consume social media almost exclusively through YouTube now.
Could you imagine that wanting to be your job? Like, I mean, it's a fifth grade teacher saying that that's what they want to do. What do you want to be when you grow up? TikToker? You're like, damn. You know that technology is going to be dead in 15 years. It's going to be some other cool social media, right? Like, you got to choose a different one. You got to start your own social media thing and be cool on there. I mean, look, things are a lot different. Like you mentioned, like the things people consume or watch is different than we were a kid. Athletes was a big one. Obviously, everyone wanted to be like a baseball player or a basketball player.
There's the stereotypical ones growing
up. But I gave up on that dream like super early.
Yeah.
I never thought I was going to be a professional baseball player.
Yeah, but like I said, whether it was in kindergarten or whatever, when you had to like scribble essentially on, you know, what you're thinking. Like there is a stereotypical one. There was the, you know, like I'm sure there were people, you know, we already had some of them. Meteorologist, astronaut, president, you know, NBA player.
Do you ever think president? Like,
I think every kid at one point when they were little were like, sure, but like not actually.
Sure.
I don't think I ever wrote it down. Let's put it that way. Come on now.
It wasn't a class answer.
Yeah, it was not. But you know how many students probably said that?
No, they're just saying TikTokers, YouTubers.
Yeah. So,
how like, do you like, so do you I think there'll be a school YouTube for that eventually?
For what?
I'm sure there's classes
how
for
to be
it
better
already.
At YouTube or TikTok.
I mean, I'm sure there's like,
there's video game there's, schools yeah, now,
quick,
so I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure there's quick like schools, video so. Editing, YouTube design yeah. classes and stuff like that, which would actually probably be really useful at some point. But like I watch movie trailers, I watch how-to videos. That's basically all I use YouTube for. There's a whole different world of YouTube that I don't even know exists.
Full of little kids opening toys. Like that Ryan dude's rich. There's some dude named Ryan, I just want you to know. He's a kid. He started as a younger kid. All he does is open up toys on YouTube, and he is rich. He is very rich. He has his own line of toys now, but he is very rich just from opening toys on YouTube. To be clear, if my kid gets on there,
kids
like
now,
kids YouTube sometimes, she'll watch like some kid open some princess toy and seems to like it.
They can say they want to, you know, just play video games, and you can't, and like the parent can't be like, there's no future in that anymore.
No,
like
you can't,
that was the thing. Like,
you can't
claim
that.
You're playing video games too much. There's what is that's not going to get you anything. Well, now there's esports.
I think it's
actually
probably,
it's a real thing. $1 billion industry.
But it is like being a professional athlete. You'd be like, look, I need you to have a backup choice.
There's scholarships.
No, sure, yeah. but it's still a backup choice. Like the number of people who enjoy video games versus play them professionally is the same number of people who like play at 3-2, play hard pitch baseball versus the people who play professional baseball. Like you still got to give
there.
Them the backup
choice. It'll get there eventually. I think there's a lot of colleges that still don't even have esports, and that'll only grow. So like, I think right now you're still early enough, but as far as to maybe get scholarships, but yeah, it's crazy.
Scholarship.
Man. It's crazy.
What are you doing at MU? What are you doing at KU? I'm on scholarship to play esports. All right.
Good for you.
Cool. I mean, look, if you can get a scholarship to do it, do it.
It also comes with a stipend for your future, carpal tunnel syndrome when you get a little bit older as well. But yeah, and I love video games. But
and going on the IL with carpal tunnel.
That's right.
Is it an esports player?
We laugh, but there actually are there's a sports medicine like group. They actually will look at
money.
Like, esports is actually something they are talking about. Like, there are legitimate injuries coming from esports. We can laugh, but it's like actually happening. It is a real problem out there.
You had to sit out the championship, Serta.
There it is.
Lower back pain.
Coming up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour. Dani Welniak, she's going to stop by, and also it's time to open some more NBA Top Shot.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.